Let's stand together. Everybody standing, take your Bibles. We'll read the scripture together. In honor of the scripture, we will stand together. Luke chapter 17. The message will not be lengthy tonight. After the message, we'll pray and have our invitation. And then stick around. We're going to have the Lord's Supper right afterwards. And then we'll reveal our theme and pass out the calendars and so forth. We will not be long. That's why the message is going to be a little shorter than normal. So I'll talk fast, you listen fast, and it'll all be good. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, it came to pass, verse 11. I know the children are in here tonight from Patch, so let's make sure we sit up and we pay attention here tonight. Verse 11, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, speaking of Christ, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go your way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that you just bless this time we have together. Bless the remainder of our service. As we look at the scripture here, we look at this story and make some application to our life. And of course, we'll take the Lord's Supper and plan ahead for next year. Be with us, still our hearts. Help us to receive what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This story that we're looking at, Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. As he heads to Jerusalem, he enters one of the villages. As he is going through the village, he sees these 10 lepers. Leprosy, of course, it's a very contagious disease. Now, we have a little bit better handle of it now in our society than they did back then. So if you became a leper, you basically had to live outside the city. You had to live in a special camp because it was very, very, very contagious. And so leprosy was a very, very bad thing. You were separated from your family. You were separated from society, really, in general. If you came down the street, you had to kind of stay away from others. You just didn't want to get the disease and pass it on. And so they were kind of outcast. Jesus tells them, they yell to Jesus, hey, have mercy on us, master. And he tells them to go to the priest. As they turn to go to the priest in obedience to Christ, they are healed. Now, if you had this debilitating disease, a disease that kept you basically out of touch physically with your family and others and kind of kept you out to the side, you would think if you were healed by Jesus Christ after asking him and really wanting him to heal you, you think that they would have been all thankful. You think they would have said, let's run over to this one and let's give thanks to the one who healed us and in essence has given us our life back. But as you read the story, you see that didn't happen. Out of the 10, only one runs back to praise him and to give him thanks for what he did. The other 9 went on their way, and they did not. One of the most attractive qualities to people and to the Lord is the quality of gratefulness. Being thankful for everything that takes place in our life, particularly to the Lord and to Jesus Christ. If a person is not grateful, you start to get a sense of entitlement. In other words, what I mean entitlement is that you deserve something. You are owed something. By the way, let me say this. In this life, you are owed nothing. Everything that we get is a gift from God, and we ought to be thankful and grateful to him for everything that he does for us. Gratefulness is understanding that all the things that happen in our life, God has given to us or has used others to accomplish in our life. My admonition to us tonight as we finish 2015, our theme for 2014, as we finish this year, our theme was do all to the glory of God. And I would hope and admonish us as we look back on this year that we would stop and thank God for the things that he has done in our life this year. You say, God's not done a bunch of things in my life. Hey, are you alive tonight? Thank God you're alive. Are you saved tonight? Thank God you're saved. There's always something we can be thankful for. By the way, you know, sometimes when things are going bad, just stop and think. Things could be worse. There's always someone that has it worse off than we do. It's so funny how we sit around sometimes and we're whiners. It's just, you know, we're so spoiled, we're whiners. We start, things are going bad. And then we see somebody that has it worse than us, and it's like, you know what? It's not that bad after all. God's been good to all of us. I want to look at the story from two things. First of all, I want to look at the story from the setting of the men in the story who were healed. Let's look at them. As we go through the story, we mentioned 10 were healed, but only one came back. sad thing it is for those who profess to be Christians, for those who profess to know God, that average seems about right, unfortunately. 1 out of 10 that really stop and are really thankful to God for what he has done in their life. You know, why should we serve Jesus? Why should we give our lives to him? Because he saved us. You say, well, that's a lot. The fact that one day we will go to heaven simply because of what he did for us, dying in our place on the cross, is a good enough for us to give our lives to him and say, Lord, thank you. I want to serve you with my life. We live in a you owe it to me society. We think that we should be paid everything and we deserve everything. By the way, never, never, never ask God to give you what you deserve. That's a bad idea. If you understand the scripture, you understand we're all sinners and we all deserve to go to hell. And to ask God for what we deserve is not a very good idea. I don't know about you. I want God's grace and mercy in my life. I don't want God to give me what I deserve. I want God to give me what I don't deserve, which is pretty much everything. Let's be thankful. What is the story of these men? Well, first of all, they were the outcast, and they really needed help. As I mentioned before, these were men that would be separated. They would be living outside the city in a little camp just for them so that their disease were not spread. When these men came to Jesus Christ, they knew they had a need. They knew they were outcasts. They knew they needed help. And give them credit, they went to the person who could help them. Maybe you feel like that sometimes. Maybe sometimes we feel, you know, like, man, I feel like things aren't going. Hey, listen, God is there for you. And make sure you go to the right person. And also, let's be a church that's helping everybody. You know, church is for everybody. You know, we cannot invite the wrong person to church. We cannot take the gospel to the wrong person. We cannot share the love of Jesus Christ with the wrong person. In fact, the matter is this. It seems that the lower a person is, and I don't mean this in a bad way, we're all there tonight. The lower a person is on a social scale or a financial scale, it just seems like they're more open to God. We looked, oh, look at all these Christians, these big shots, and if this superstar got saved, what could he do for Christ? Can I just tell you something? Mostly they give Christ a bad name. You know what? God just likes us everyday regular folks. And we need to make sure we're coming to Jesus Christ. Let's be thankful this year, but let's realize that there are a lot of people out there that need the Lord. Hey, let's not look down on anybody. I read a story that was I was reading a book, and I heard the story of this evangelist, and he said that he was walking down the street, and he saw this guy coming to him. The guy looked shaggy and kind of looked like this guy, and he doesn't want to listen about God, and he kind of halfway offered the guy a track, and the guy goes, oh, no, thank you, and he walked away. He goes, I kind of figured this guy was like that, and he's just, and then as the guy got 10 feet past him, he turned around and said, hey, what is that? And he looked at him and goes, oh, it talks about Jesus Christ, and the guy goes, I just got saved a few days ago. And this guy was thinking, man, how am I sitting here judging this guy, and he's one of my brothers in Christ? See, the gospel's for everybody. Let's not look down on anybody. They were those who needed help. Also, these men, they were those who had the sense to cry out for help. It says when they saw Christ, they lifted up their voices and said, Master, have mercy on us. They needed his help. You see, sometimes we come to a point in our life when we need help and we need something because God is trying to drive us to be closer to him. How often does it seem that when we have everything that we need and things are going well and the seas are flat, that we just don't come to God, do we? It's almost like we say, you know what, God, I don't need your help right now. Everything's okay, I got it handled. That's a bad place to be because nobody has it under control completely. We need to realize our dependence on God each and every day. I think of Jesus' model prayer where he told them to pray to the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. I'm pretty sure most of us woke up today and we kind of figured we're going to be able to eat. You know, we have our refrigerators full. Fact of the matter is you probably have leftover from Christmas still, right? You have all that food in there and now you're to the turkey hash and to the turkey this and turkey cereal. Man, you're using all of it. But even though we have that, you know what Jesus said? Hey, ask God to provide your daily food. Why? Because he's providing it anyhow. You say, no. I have all that I need right now. Do you know God could pull the rug out from under us? I would rather realize that when I don't have a need that God's providing and still tell him to provide for me than wait till everything's gone and then run to him. Why don't we run to him when we have what we need? Because he's already given it to us. Why wait until we don't have it and beg him to give it to us when he's already given it to us? Let's not ignore him. Let's realize that we have a need. Also, these men, they were the obedient ones who received the help. You know when they were healed? Jesus told them, they say, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourself unto the priest. By the way, showing yourself to the priest, that's one of the things you're supposed to do when you are healed of a disease. You go to the priest for a testimony. These men were not healed. But yet he said, hey, go show yourself to the priest. And in faith and obedience, they turned and started heading to the priest. And as they turned and started going, they were healed. They were healed in their obedience to what Christ told them to do. You know what most people want? Most people want the problems in their life taken care of. They want them taken out of the way without ever doing what God wants them to do. And by the way, if we're in, if we're in a problem and we're not willing to do what God would tell us to do to get out of the problem, we're never going to get out of the problem. Because you only get out of the problem in doing what God tells you to do to get out of the situation, to get out of the problem. But see, we don't want that. What we want is we want someone to come wave a magic wand and our problem disappears or our needs are met. And it's all in obedience that that happens. We need to obey God's word. Our lives will never get better apart from God's word. Never. Our lives will never be better apart from doing what God tells us to do. It's an amazing thing that God not only cared enough about us to die for us, to save us so we can go to heaven, he cared enough about us to leave us instructions on how to live on this earth until we get to heaven. Help is available in the form of God's word, but it must be obeyed. It's not like we think of, when Jesus was being tempted. How did he defeat Satan in his temptation? Well, the word of God. See, what we think he did is he pulled it out and it was like a cross in front of a vampire. Okay, can I tell you something? You could show the Bible to Satan. He'll say, I know, that's a Bible. Look at that, black leather, probably King James. I know it's the Bible. Satan could care less if we have one of these. You know what bothers him? It's when we open it. And you know what really bothers him? When we do what it says. When Jesus answered Satan's temptation, he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. What was the power behind those words? Because Satan knew that Jesus wasn't just going to quote scripture. He was going to base what he did off of the scripture he was quoting. That's where the power comes from. As a new Christian coming in and having really, my life was a mess and needing a lot to change, how did I change? I just started getting into the Bible. Started going to church every service. Started listening to what was being taught. I started reading it on a daily basis. And I tried to put into practice the things I was learning. And as I put into practice those things I was learning, the things I was reading, the things I was hearing, my life started to change. And I encourage you to have that same testimony. And then as we look at these men who were healed, we notice one last thing. Only one of them gave thanks for the help. What a sad thing that is. And by the way, the Lord noticed it. He said, wait a minute. Weren't there 10 of you healed? Where are the other 9? Where are they at? See, he was thankful for the one that came. But he was concerned about those who didn't come. And by the way, the one that came probably of all of them should not have been the one who should have came. He was a Samaritan. He was not a full-bred Jew. He was a half-breed, and even the Jews looked down upon the Samaritans. But yet this Samaritan was the only one that had enough inside of them to come back and say thank you and praise. Don't be one of those. If you're going to be a Christian, let's be one of the 10 percenters. Let's be one of the 1 out of 10 who come back and say, it's not just enough, Lord, that you saved me. I'm thankful, I'm praising you, and I will give my life to you. That is a very small thing to do. That's not asking for a lot. When we read in the book of Romans where he tells us to give our life as a living sacrifice to the Lord, Paul uses the phrase, it's our reasonable service. What he's saying is, just makes sense. If God has saved you, if God's done that for you, doesn't it just make sense? Isn't it reasonable? Doesn't it add up that this is what we should do? That's what Jesus really, in essence, is saying. Where are the other 9? It makes sense that you would come back and thank me, the one who healed you. How come the others aren't doing it? Let's be one of the 10%. So we're looking at the men that were healed there. Now, for us, let's look at the story from our perspective. Let me make a couple of comments here, and we'll be done. First of all, we need to realize that often those with less are the grateful ones. Often those with less. The person that seems to be forgiven much seems to get it a little bit more. We think back to, man, look what was going on in my life. Those with less have a tendency to be just a little more thankful. Let's be thankful. None of us in here are rich today. None of us in here are Einsteins. None of us in here are, listen, we're all common people that love Jesus Christ. Let's be grateful all that he's done in our life. Let's never be guilty of ingratitude. Never be guilty of ingratitude. Always in your heart, whenever something happens, you ought to just, you don't need to jump up on a table if something good happens and say, praise the Lord. Now, if you want to do that, okay, go right ahead. But you know, when something good happens, it's not hard to say in your heart, Lord, thank you for that. Now, when you wake up in the morning, just in your heart, say, Lord, thank you for giving me another day. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. You know, the habit that we have, you know, we all pray for our meals, just thanking God for the food. You say, well, that's just some kind. No, it's just a habit. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my life. Let's not forget. Remember the day that you were saved. Be thankful that day. I think we forget about it way, way, way too often. Do you remember what was going on? Now for some of you, you have to think about it a little bit more. Some of you that grew up in church, you know, you got saved in the junior church. You didn't have some wicked life. Man, I remember my life before Christ. I stole someone's Hot Wheel. Okay, wow. You horrible sinner, you. Okay? We have to purposely think to be thankful. Now, I came out of a life that wasn't pleasing to God, so I get it. I remember as a new Christian, I went to church, and I've given this story before, and there was a man, I forget his name, he was a pianist, and he was very, very good. And he came in and, you know, he kind of did all the specials. He kind of traveled. He was an evangelist that would play the piano. Real good guy. And he came in. He got up to preach. And really sharp looking guy. He goes, I want to thank God tonight that God saved me from a life of alcohol. And I said, man, wow, he doesn't look like he was an alcoholic, but amen. He goes, I want to thank God that he saved me tonight from a life of drugs. I'm like, wow, he didn't look like a drug addict. He said, I want to thank God tonight he saved me from a life of homosexuality. I'm like, I definitely didn't see that. And he mentioned all these sins, and I'm like, he doesn't look like that kind of guy. And then he got up and said, I got saved when I was 5, and I never had to go through any of it. Okay? I'm like, bingo. Not bingo, but amen. Okay? See, we thank God for all the things if we had a life before Christ that he saved us from. But you know, he since the time we've been saved, there's a lot of things he saved us from getting into. Say, oh, I have this trouble in my life. Brother, it could be worse. Without the grace of God, you could go through a bunch. Let's be a grateful people. As we come to the end of 2014 as a church, let's be thankful. As a church, let's be thankful for our salvation, as I've already mentioned. Let's be thankful that God changed our life, and let's be thankful that God is still in the life-changing business. There's probably a handful of you in here that a year ago at this time, you weren't even in church. Hey, thank God that you're here. Maybe you say, I'm a new Christian. Thank God for what he's doing in your life. Let's thank God for what he's doing. And let's thank God for the privilege he's given us to band together as a church to be able to fulfill his will. That's an honor. That's a privilege. You know, look, God could accomplish anything he wants without us, but he has so chosen to use Christians to fulfill his will on this earth. Why don't we be thankful that God allows us to be a part of what he's doing? Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you grateful? By the way, we all are, but are there not times that we forget? I heard a story of a pastor. He pastors a big church, and I heard this story from somebody else, so I don't know if it's completely true. The guy's reputable. He said when he's going to hire somebody, he takes them out to eat. Yes, Nicholas, it is. He says that at the end of the meal, if the person doesn't thank him for the meal, he doesn't hire him. Now, I don't know about that, but you know what? I don't think I'd have a problem with that. Don't we want people working who are grateful for what's going on in their life? Let's be grateful for what God has done. You say, man, why don't we stop and take a few minutes and just think? If you stop and in the quietness of your heart, think about everything that's going on in your life, everything that's there, you'll see the hand of God. And you'll see where if you didn't have this or that, things would be a lot worse. Let's not be the nine. Let's be the one that comes back and says, Lord, thank you. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes together tonight.